D&D Dungeons Academy No Humans Allowed, written by Madeline Rue, illustrated by Tim Probert. Chapter 12. Read by Larkman.
Snabla! Snabla!
Zelly, Hugo, and Bobble shouted after him in unison. Flash disappeared, popping into the air and then across the flames, exploding another skeleton as she landed.
Your shield won't hold!
Zelly cried, trying to reach the kobold before he sacrificed himself to the fire. Hugo ran as fast as he could, each heavy step shaking the cave floor.
It's too flimsy, Snabla. Wait! The wood will be consumed by the flames!
Bobble tried to shout that something too, but Zelly couldn't hear it over her own frantic shrieking and breathing. Behind her, Aladora Stillstrike guarded their flank, sword slicing horizontally through two skeletons at a time as she slashed and slashed, seemingly with endless reserves of stamina. It was hard for Zelly to believe that she was really fighting back to back with a legendary human adventurer, and her family at that. They seemed to swing with identical technique and shout with the same ferocious thunder.
What is that little creature doing?
Aladora yelled to Zella.
He's going to get himself killed.
Zelly could hardly believe that a human was expressing concern for a kobold. But maybe unexpected sympathies ran in the family. Or maybe Aladora realized these reckless children charging into the fray were here and her only chance to defeat the necromancer. Whatever the reason, so she was with them, at least for the moment. They both spun to follow in Snabla's wake, hurrying to catch up to him. The flames banished the chill of the cave, and Zelly felt her cheeks grow hot, perspiration dotting her forehead as she tried to reach Snabla before it was too late. The kobold couldn't be stopped, and marched toward the fire without hesitation.
Wait, Snabla, wait!
Bobble's voice finally broke through the din just as they reached the wall of the fire. The mimic transformed into a candle snuffer, a tiny vial of water, and then, with a quavering sigh, a book on forest fires. None of it, of course, was enough to help with the inferno. Behind the surging flames, the necromancer's power gathered and the portal nearly completely restored.
Yes!
Lord Carrion shrieked, his voice like a blade rasping across ice.
Yes! Throw yourselves at the fire. Cinders. Ash. You will burn. Little fools. I will not be defeated by mere children. Not I, who has portaled across the nether. Not I, master of the deep, dark places. Lord of the undead, summoner unmatched.
The portal!
Aladora shouted when the necromancer had finally finished.
We cannot allow him to summon the portal. We know!
Zelly, Hugo, and Bobble replied in harried unison.
Snabla!
Hugo's voice rose above it all. Then, as the kobold's shield felt the first searing kiss of flame, the flimsy, splintering wood immediately scorched smoke, filling the air around them. But it was too late. There came a dreadful silence, a gasp before the horrible fate revealed. But in that stillness, Zelly finally heard Bobble whisper what they had been trying to say all along. Only this time, they said it was in dazed wonder.
The shield!
They shouted as Snabla miraculously stepped up unharmed through the wall of the flame, cutting a path for them and leaving the way open for his friends to follow. Before their eyes, the shield glittered and glue and grew. Wood becoming steel. Steel becoming gilt. 100 Fidgel Greed Dragon scales, forming like icicles on a frozen eve.
Through blazing threats, flames reveal the true dragon scales. Worthy.
Snabla raised the enchanted shield high above his head, the flames reflecting off its gold edges in blinding flashes.
I am worthy, Father knew. Father knew I would be worthy. Worthy of the great Sneef.
Be silent!
Lord Carrion turned on the kobold, striking with the end of his staff. His spell disrupted the portal, fizzled out again, but the heavy wooden weapon connected hard with Snabla's shield, sending him flying and crashing to the floor. Dazed, Snabla tried to rise up again, but Lord Carrion's skeleton descended. Zelle, Hugo, and Bobble raced to defend them, forming a bulwark between him and the undead minions coming for their friend.
"We're coming, Snabla," Bobble cried. "I'll turn into...
The mimic made a strangled sound of frustration, able to manifest into no more than a bit of tattered bandage.
"It doesn't matter what you are,"
Hugo reminded Bobble as they ran. "He just needed us." Alidora Stillstrike took her chance, eyeing the necromancer and preparing to strike. Hoisting her heavy blade to her shoulder before swinging with a hoarse scream, the last of her stamina bursting forth with terrible speed and force. But Lord Carrion anticipated her pulling a small black vial from his robes and drinking it in one gulp before tossing the thing away to shatter among shuffling skeletal feet. He raised his staff again, his strength only surging while steel strikes wanded. And steel strikes waned. With a quick twist of his fingers, the warrior froze, caught with her sword midair, a pale green haze encasing her entirely. After the necromancer sagged, weakened, heaving for air, Zelle ran to the woman. Had the spell killed her, or just stopped her in her tracks? Zelle looked for some sign of life, but found none. The warrior wouldn't be helping them like that. She tried to imagine what Alidora Stillstrike would want her to do. It was right there in the name, wasn't it? Zelle rolled her shoulders back and tried not to think about losing Alidora just yet. Instead, she reached for the woman's sword and tried to pull it free. She yanked and yanked, but the spell was too strong.
Maybe I wasn't meant to wear her sword.
Even without the sword, they couldn't give up.
Now's our chance,
Zelle said, turning away from Alidora with a hitch in her throat and helping Snabla to his feet while with a squeeze of his shoulder.
He should be too exhausted to cast more spells. Remember what Bobble told us? Break his concentration. Stop him from casting spells.
Oh, on the contrary,
the necromancer panted, leaning heavily on his staff as Hugo led the charge.
I have one card yet to play.
Zelle watched in horror as Lord Carrion pointed his staff toward the owlbear, who stopped at once as frozen as Alidora. He did not, however, remain still, the tiny, almost imperceptible spot of purple ooze near his elbow glowing like a brand before his kind eyes narrowed, suddenly filled with hatred. Zelle had forgotten all about the blow Hugo had struck against the skeleton outside the cave, and that he had tried but failed to remove every trace of the blackish goo from his arm. She couldn't have guessed that even the infinitesimal amount was enough to give the necromancer power over her friend. Hugo gnashed his beak and lashed out at them with lethal claws, gouging a long scratch into Snabla's mighty shield. His eyes flashed purple, his claws elongating, glowing like otherworldly daggers.
Hugo! Hugo, wake up! It's us!
Zelle called to him, but he was lost. Something, someone else,
flashed, pounced onto Hugo's head, but was soon snatched up by Hugo's bear-like paws and flung away. Before she could hit the wall, she disappeared, but Zelly did not see where she reappeared. Snabla tried to defeat his blows, but the owlbear was too fearsome, too strong, and again Hugo's glowing claws beat against the shield, and Snabla did his best, but he was just a young kobold and only as tall as the owlbear's knee. No match for such unrelenting strength and fury.
"My alchemy prevails," Lord Carrion crowed.
He coughed and began to hobble away on his staff, putting distance between them and retreating to where the line of villagers and monsters waited.
"It's taking everything he's got to cast his spells," Bobble shrieked,
tossed back and forth on Hugo's back like a rag doll.
His life force. He has to use his life force to hold us off. We can't give up. Magic,"
they wailed, almost tumbling out of the bag.
"Magic 101.
Zelly found it hard to fight when it was against her once gentle friend. She couldn't believe it had come to this. Fending off the kindest student in the entire academy, watching the kindness drain from his eyes, kindness that had let him cook for them and teach them and support her even when he knew her secret. She hated to raise her sword against him, but she had to protect the others. He wasn't their friend anymore. The real Hugo was gone. Lord Carrion's skeletons rallied, fighting alongside Hugo.
"Now, be torn asunder by your very own ally."
"Bobble, turn into something,"
Zelly called.
"Something, anything, give us more than a book smarts."
The mimic tome at last tumbled free of Hugo's bag, turning and panicked circle before growing tall and thin and falling back to the ground. A skeleton tearing towards Zelly stepped right on the shovel Bobble had become, the handle bouncing straight upward and smashing the fiend in the face. This brought Zelly time, but only a little. Not every skeleton would step on Bobble or fall for the same trick, though a surprising number did. And she soon found herself outnumbered and cornered. The wall of the cave loomed behind her, and while Snabla tried dearly to deflect Hugo's continuous onslaught, he was falling back, separated from the frozen Alidora, and trod upon Bobble.
"Hugo!"
Zelly could hear the tears rising in her voice. It hardly looked like him. She didn't recognize this cold, ferocious beast slashing at them now. Where was the kind, soft-spoken Hugo they all knew? He had to be in there somewhere. What would become of him when he finally broke free of this awful necromancer's control and realized he had harmed his very own friends? She raised her sword against him with all possible hesitation, but it was the only defense she possessed when she would not hear her desperate pleas. There was nothing of the old sweet Hugo left in his wild eyes. Hugo easily battled her sword aside, and it clattered uselessly to the ground, well out of reach, when Snabla lurched forward to intercept. He too was hurled away by a ferocious blow from Hugo. Zelly heard him land with a grunt somewhere in the shadows. She could see nothing now beyond Hugo, not the cave, not Alidora, not the portal Lord Carrion was undoubtedly trying again to summon. The owlbear's crushing grip landed around her upper arm, and with ease he hoisted her into the air, opening his beak wide to tear out her throat. Zelly kicked and punched, but no avail. She was a real minotaur, and she didn't have a mighty owlbear's strength. She thrashed and hoped she would at least miss her neck and land somewhere less vital.
"Yes," she heard Lord Carrion's elated shriek in the echoing vastness of the caves.
"Ah!"
"Yes, devour her."
tear her to pieces, my thrall.
Fitting, she thought, with a final, frightened scream. He was a monster and she a human. This was how it was always meant to end. That concludes Chapter 12 of D&D Dungeons Academy No Humans Allowed. Written by Madeline Rue and illustrated by Tim Probert. Harper Publishing. Read by Larkin.